Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JCS Podcast. This is episode number 275, dedicated to a man who on April 12th, 1954, won his third and final Masters Tournament. Mr. Sam Snead. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. During this episode, we will discuss why the Ravens bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. has become a bigger deal than it should be, and I unveil my all-time NBA starting five. But first, the NBA play-in tournament has been something that has got my attention for a weird reason. Not because I want to watch it, but because I don't think it's a wise decision for the NBA to have a play-in tournament to decide the final two seeds in each conference. Think about if you are a player in the NBA. You have played 82 games, or maybe you load manager play and you play 64. But you play all these games in the National Basketball Association night after night, traveling from this city, traveling to that city, back-to-back here, a back-to-back there, and then all of a sudden, people in suits have decided to have an NBA play-in tournament to decide the final two seeds. Now, granted, it does allow for extra time on the television. The play-in tournament started last night, so you have the 11th through the 14th for the play-in tournament, and then the 15th is when the NBA playoffs start. So you get basketball Tuesday through Friday, and automatically on Saturday, you get the NBA playoffs, the real thing. And so I understand for TV purposes and for money, it might make a little bit of sense as the NBA is doing things to make money, which is why they might do an in-season tournament, which I am strongly against that as well. But man, like outside of like the things in my head, if I were NBA player, a coach, assistant coach, a scout, anybody a part of an organization, I'd be upset. You mean to tell me y'all got to schedule 82 games in a season? And if I'm the 7th or the 8th seed, I got to play extra ball to simply play in the playoffs when it hasn't been that way for so many years? I believe in a phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I do believe the NBA playoffs, they weren't broke in this way. No, they were not. They were just fine the way they are. I would fine-tune it to make it better, but it wasn't a broken product. This, to me, doesn't make sense. Since now, you may say, Jay, what is the play-in tournament? You're new to sports or you're new to the podcast, and you're trying to figure out what in the world is this NBA play-in tournament? There's a game between the 7th and 8th seed, a game between the 9th and 10th seed in each conference, East and West, respectively. The 7th and 8th seed, the winner of that game, that's a game that's played first in the first round. The winner of the 7th and 8th seed game automatically gets the 7th seed. So no matter what, win or lose in that game, you play another game. If you're the 9th or 10th seed in your conference, if you lose that first game, the 9th versus 10th seed game, you're out. So you're sitting here, and let me go back and look at the standings here really quick. I had it pulled up. In the Eastern Conference, 7th and 8th, the Heat and Hawks, they will play. 9th and 10th, the Raptors and Bulls, they will play. Whoever wins between the Heat and the Hawks moves on automatically. They're the 7th seed. They will play the Celtics in the first round. The Raptors and Bulls, whoever loses that game is out. Done. Now, if they win that game, they'll play the loser of the 7th and 8th seed game. For the Western Conference, Lakers and Timberwolves, 7th and 8th seed. Pelicans and Thunder, 9th and 10th seed. So it does allow those teams that are out on the outside, on the fringe, on the back end of that thing, to still have a shot at playing in the playoffs. But let's just look at it a little bit deeper. It's a little close in the East, a little close in the West. But why should a team that has won 43 games potentially be out of the playoffs because a team in the Thunder, who's only won 40 games, won a couple games after the end of the regular season to be in the playoffs? I understand that's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way things are right now. But, buddy, it doesn't make sense. This isn't the pennant race this isn't like Major League Baseball where there's a wild card. You have the three division winners. They're automatically in. I know they changed the format, but the format I was used to, if you're that fourth, if you're the wild card, there's only one wild card. That's a highly coveted spot in Major League Baseball playoffs. So in baseball, if you are that wild card, you have one shot to get in the playoffs. Just one. But the margin between 3 and 4 is not as deep, it's not as drastic as generally it's going to be between 7 and 10 in the NBA playoffs. You get the gist. I understand doing things to make money. I understand doing things to allow there to be more basketball. I understand why the NBA went from a 5-game best of 5 series or best of 7-game series for the first round recently. Now, this has been a 10-plus year thing, but I understand why they went from a best of 5 to a best of 7 in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Money. The product was better when it was best of 5 in the first round. I don't think the product was broken by only allowing the top 8 seeds to be in the NBA playoffs. Why change it? Buddy, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The NBA playoffs weren't broken. And if there was a problem with the playoffs, this doesn't fix it. Let's go ahead and take a trip to Baltimore, Maryland, because there are people out there that are making a bigger deal than they should about the Ravens bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. So the Baltimore Ravens, they have a need at receiver. They believe they're doing their due diligence to maybe draft a receiver or to bring in a guy or two via free agency. Well, they recently brought in a guy via free agency in Odell Beckham Jr., a player who didn't play a year ago, went unsigned for the entire season. The last time we saw him play, he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl. Now, granted, that was a time in a year where he found his role. He fit in with the Rams. It was different than maybe some people thought it was going to be. Different than it was when he played for the Cleveland Browns. Different than it was when he left the New York Giants. I mean, it was a different OBJ. And I got to give him credit. I've been very critical of Odell Beckham Jr., the football player, and the way he conducts himself as a professional athlete. But I got to give him credit, man. Give him kudos because he did himself a good deed during that year. By the way he conducted himself during that year out there in L.A. But the Baltimore Ravens are a team that need to be very picky about the way they spend their money. You want Lamar Jackson or do you not want Lamar Jackson? There's been a trade request that was made public a few weeks after it was made by Lamar Jackson to the Baltimore Ravens. So you got Lamar Jackson who wants his money, wants a Deshaun Watson-esque contract, which I'm going to get into that in a little bit about what I think about Lamar Jackson and if he deserves that contract or not. But also, when it comes to Odell Beckham Jr., I went back and looked at the contract because bringing him in is one thing, and I think it's very interesting and maybe an okay move to bring him in. I mean, you kind of got guys there that are serviceable. Nobody's really an all-pro. Nobody really checks every box that you want for a wide receiver. And OBJ doesn't do that either. So it's not me saying that the receivers the Ravens have don't check all boxes. OBJ doesn't either. Like, this is a major risk that the Ravens are taking by bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. right now. Now, granted, it's been over a year since he's torn his ACL, and you believe that he is fully healthy, that he is going to get back on the football field and be a decent piece of the pie, a good piece of the offense for the Ravens. Now, it'll take him some time to get acclimated to playing the football once again. It'll take him some time to get acclimated to playing the football consistently, not just week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way through the end of the season, even in the preseason. I know some guys only want to play one series a game or don't want to play at all. OBJ, to me, needs those reps. He needs to be out there playing the football. He needs to get his feet wet. He needs to be out there making and getting, building chemistry and cultivating chemistry with the quarterback. Now, is a quarterback going to be Tyler Huntley? Is it going to be Anthony Brown? Is it going to be Lamar Jackson? I don't think it's going to be Lamar Jackson. I don't at all. Is it going to be somebody that the Ravens might draft in the upcoming draft? Like, who is it going to be? I don't know. This TBD to be determined. Probably Tyler Huntley. Probably not Lamar Jackson for numerous reasons, but that's a good time for this young man and OBJ to just get back on the football field, play the game that you love. Because if I know anything about an athlete, I never played at this high of level, but I played a little football back in the high school days and played other sports when I was a kid. There's nothing alike being on the field. There's an excitement that comes the first practice, your first time back on the field. There's an excitement that just rings true that is oozing out of the pores of everybody on the football team or the basketball team or the soccer team or the hockey team. Why? Because you're back doing what you love. And if it's a team that you're playing with year after year after year, you're back playing with your boys or your girls. You're back playing with your teammates, your people, if you might want to put it that way. You're back doing something that you love. And for Odell Beckham Jr., buddy, get on the football field. Do what you do. Get your feet going. Get hit a couple times, and you'll be okay. It won't hurt too much. It might sting. Get back in the huddle, or if there's no huddle offense, get back to the line of scrimmage and just get going for the next play. Now, I do think it's a decent move for them to bring him in. One, it was an overpriced. This man's contract, have you looked at this thing? The Ravens and OBJ agreed to a one-year deal that's worth up to $18 million. Now, the new deal reportedly includes a $13.835 million sign-on bonus, a $1.165 million base salary, and $3 million in incentives. So you're going to sit here and tell me, a man who didn't play a year ago, a man who the last time he played football, he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl, a man that has been an issue for the Giants, for the Browns, that has had some issues, and he might be mentally what you want him to be, but also you're sitting here going to tell me that a $13.8 million signing bonus is what you want to do for Odell Beckham Jr.? Buddy, make it make sense. Now, if you want to go to the stats and say, Jay, do the stats match up to what OBJ is given via his contract? No, absolutely not. The last time he played in 2021, played for two teams. He had 82 catches combined for both teams. 44 catches, 537 yards, and five touchdowns. The last time OBJ had a 1,000-yard receiving season was in 2019. The last season he played with the Giants, he had 1,052 receiving yards. 2019, the last time he played with the Browns, well, the first season he played with the Browns, 1,035 receiving yards. So he's had five 1,000-yard receiving seasons in his career, the last one coming in 2019. He played for two teams in 2021, only had 500 receiving yards combined for that season. So it's not like me saying $18 million is a going rate for a guy like him. No, he's been on the decline for quite a bit. And some of the off-the-field things kind of get in the way. But also, just himself and the injuries and not playing last year. There was a reason why nobody brought him in last year. And there are numerous teams that needed wide receivers. Look, just look around. There are numerous teams out there that needed a wide receiver. So the contract to me, he's overpaid. Odell Beckham Jr. is also maybe overrated. Now, I don't believe I have him overrated, but for a guy like him to get this much attention, to get that kind of money, right now at this stage of his career, I believe it's his year 10, buddy, let's just pause, time out. What does Lee Corso say? Not so fast, my friend. I often say pump the brakes on numerous shows that I am on. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit. Like, have we really rated this man properly? Overpaid, overpriced? Overrated. I mean, it's kind of absurd to see exactly what people do, how they view this young man. And I put it in context to go like this. If you think about the money he's getting and the kind of money that Lamar Jackson is requesting, would it make more sense to give that money to your quarterback or to give the money to a guy who you're not really sure what you're going to get right now? Probably the quarterback in Lamar Jackson. But let's keep this in context. When it comes to Lamar Jackson, do I think Lamar is owed a Deshaun Watson-esque contract? Absolutely not. I'm a person that is kind of off Lamar Jackson. Yes, he won the MVP in 2019, two-time Pro Bowler. Won the Heisman in college in 2016. I mean, I understand what Lamar has done. One, I don't believe Deshaun Watson deserved that contract. I don't at all. The Browns are a desperate franchise trying to do something that they've never done in my lifetime, which is be a consistently good football team. But also, Lamar Jackson has limitations. Some might disagree with that, but if I'm going to sit here and talk to you about the football and things that make sense, Lamar Jackson has some limitations on the football field. At the same time, outside of his limitations as a football player, think about his health. How many 4,000-yard passing seasons has he had? Zero. Nada. Even in his MVP season, he only threw for 3,100 passing yards. Like, it wasn't like he was out here throwing the ball around the yard all over the place. 36 touchdowns, not bad. Not bad at all. 6 interceptions, really good. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. He's really good. But what does it take to win a Super Bowl in the National Football League? An elite passer. Now, you might be a historian and you might say, Jay, Trent Dilfer was never a person that was described as an elite passer of the football. And I will say you are correct. There are times that it's not going to happen. But what did that team have? That 0-1 Ravens team had one of the best defenses we have ever seen in NFL history. And I'm not just saying in my lifetime. You got the 0-1 Ravens. You might want to put the Seahawks there. But Legion of Boom, but I still say the Ravens are better than that team. You might want to put the 85 Bears. I'm going to put the Steel Curtain one of those years up there. But, buddy, there aren't many teams out there that can survive with a quarterback like Trent Dilfer. Why? You were talking about Lamar Jackson being limited as a quarterback. Buddy, Trent Dilfer was as well. He had more limitations than Lamar Jackson. And so Lamar Jackson's arm is not great. Now, running the ball? Please, buddy. Buddy, Lamar Jackson with the ball in his hand. Running that ball, using his legs. Oh, my goodness. He is cold with it. Couple seasons where he had 1,000 yards rushing as a quarterback. Like, insane. 3,000 passing yards. 1,000 rushing yards in a season. Like, this is something you don't normally think about. So I understand why he won the MVP, and I'm not even going against it. But if I'm the Baltimore Ravens, and I have someone saying, can I win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson? I think the answer is no. Which is why, if Lamar wants a Deshaun Watson-esque contract, I am saying pump the brakes. One, y'all overpaid for OBJ. But two, be very, very smart with the money. Get a guy in there that's a better passer. Like, that can do the things that's needed to get the job done at this level. But also, Lamar can't finish a season. This man gets hurt. I'm not sitting here saying he's not good. He just gets hurt. And so it's not just the limitations on the football field. He's never played in a complete season at all in his career. So I understand if Lamar Jackson was doing the things that he does, but he's played multiple complete seasons, even if he just played one. But if he's finished a season at least once, you want multiple times. He's been in the league for 5 seasons. Never finished a season playing. He's never played every game. So, I waited a little bit. I didn't know if it was going to be OBJ coming out and being signed by the Ravens that was going to allow me to go on this little rant about Lamar. But here we are. Lamar Jackson, really good quarterback. Not a guy that I think can lead you to the promised land in the National Football League. Does not deserve a Deshaun Watson-esque contract. Deshaun Watson doesn't either. So I'm like, I'm not sitting here saying like Deshaun Watson deserves it. He doesn't deserve that either. Don't overpay for Lamar. But Ravens, y'all overpaid for OBJ. Cool, you got a guy in. He fills a need for you. You hope he does. Because nobody knows what OBJ is going to be when he gets back on the football field. But we're going to be watching it closely in the fall when the NFL season rolls around to see how well OBJ, or if he plays the football well at all, when he steps on the field for the Baltimore Ravens in 2023. from the Ravens bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. to a topic that I love discussing and is based on opinion, but I do believe my opinion is right. It's an NBA all-time starting five, and we're actually in this moment based off some things where I got this graphic and got this thought from. I'm going to change things up. We're not going to do an NBA all-time starting five. We're going to do an all-time NBA 12-man lineup from the starters to the backups to those that are at the back of the bench, at the end of the bench, but could still kill anybody or almost anybody on a basketball court. My starters, this is something I got from a graphic, ChatGPT on the Twitter. I have never heard of this, but this thought came to my mind from their graphic. And I say, oh, I can do this. This shouldn't be too hard. The starting five was easy. Once I got to the backups, then the guys at the end of the bench, that's where things got a little difficult. When it comes to my starting point guard, now, also, before I get too deep into this, we're going to go point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center for the starters and the backups. The last two guys on the roster, just pieces to fill the roster, and you're going to see who fits that group at the end. Point guard in this whole situation, Magic Johnson, Nuff said, I don't think there's any debate for this at all. So you might want to say the big O. I say, you know, Magic was better. You might want to say Steph Curry. I will say Magic was better. You might want to say somebody else. It does, Isaiah Thomas. It don't matter. Magic was better. Magic Johnson is that point guard. Jason Kidd's my favorite point guard. But you can see some things that Magic Johnson did on a basketball court in Jason Kidd's game. Both are bigger guard. Jason Kidd, 6'4". Magic 6'9". I think about being a guy 6'9 with that handle back at the beginning, back in the 70s and 80s, when that was not the norm for players that were 6'9". Think about a guy in Magic Johnson who ultimately also had to play out of position in a crucial part of his rookie year. Kareem goes down, Magic plays center, not his normal position, and it still kills there. Magic Johnson makes everybody better. Magic Johnson, a guy who I want leading my team. It really don't matter the type of offense we run. Slow it down, speed it up, don't matter. If you want to run the Showtime Lakers offense, buddy, Magic is your guy. He orchestrated that thing very, very well. He's a winner. He makes everybody around him better. And he is my point guard in my all-time 12-man roster in NBA history. Number two, my two guard, enough said, Michael Jordan. I don't have to really go very far into saying this, but I will say it because for some reason it's up for debate. I don't know why. Michael Jordan is the best player to ever play basketball in the National Basketball Association. Hands down, no questions asked, no debate. Michael Jordan is that guy. Maybe you didn't go out there and watch the basketball. Maybe you were too young to watch Michael Jordan play basketball. Go watch the YouTube. Now, I am someone that's going to say YouTube is not the end-all, be-all. You can only take so much from the highlights on the YouTube. Okay, great. Perfect. There are full Michael Jordan games there on the YouTube. Full games. NBA playoffs, series against the Knicks, NBA finals. Don't matter. If you want to watch highlights, go to YouTube. You will see why Mike is that dude. If you want to watch full games and see Mike in action for a full 48 minutes of play, go watch the YouTube. The Bulls were good, but they would not have been as good as they were if it weren't for Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Number three. Now, this is one where I kind of was a little hesitant to do this because I kind of thought about having him with the second unit, but LeBron James. Now, the debate was him or Larry Bird, and I do think there's a spot for Larry Bird with this first unit, especially with the shooting, but it's just 6'9", 6'6", 6'8", like point guard, shooting guard, small forward. And to have the skill sets that they have, because LeBron's skill set is different than Larry Bird's, but Larry Bird was just a cold-blooded killer. Like, legitimately a cold-blooded killer. And it's kind of, I get an uneasy feeling thinking about this because I still think that I should put Larry Bird here in this spot, but I got to give credit to the talent that LeBron is. My hesitancy here, I'm going to be completely honest. LeBron's not going to have the ball a lot when he's with Magic Johnson. Can he play off the ball enough and still be productive? I'm not just saying, like, the Heat, LeBron James. If we get LeBron with the Cavs, either time. LeBron with the Lakers. He's ball dominant. And so I was trying to figure out, do I want Larry Bird here or LeBron? And I went with LeBron. It really kind of, Oh, man, it makes me scratch my head right now because I'm still thinking Larry Bird and changing my mind. But no, LeBron. I'm giving it to LeBron. Maybe I'm just being too nice. But LeBron James, starter in this group. My power forward, my four-man, Tim Duncan. I got to move pretty quickly to get through this. Tim Duncan, to me, is the best power forward of all time. Like, no questions. Mr. Consistent, Mr. Fundamental. If you want consistency in scoring down low with the big man, great. If you want good defense, great. If you want God, he made Kevin Garnett, Chris Webber, all these elite power forwards during his time period have fits, and they used to hate going up against him because Tim Duncan wouldn't really talk trash in the ways that I would talk trash. But Tim Duncan, man, he got the job done. Timmy D, five-time NBA champion. Timmy D, my four-man and my 12-man roster of all the players in NBA history. The center, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And this one was no question, no debate at all. Easily the best center to ever play the game. My backups to this unit, I'm going to run through this pretty quickly. Isaiah Thomas is my point guard. Now, this was a thought. Oscar Robertson, Steph Curry, Jason Kidd. I'm going to put John Stockton here. I still don't think John Stockton's in this category with those guys, but I think John Stockton gets disrespected a lot when it comes to how great of a point guard he was. Gary Payton's not in that conversation as well either, but I think he still gets a little underappreciated. Isaiah Thomas is my point guard with my second unit. Kobe Bryant, easy. Sorry, Jerry. No, you're not the logo's not going to be here. Kobe, Bean, Bryant, my guy. Second, backup unit here. Larry Bird. Now, I can still eat. The thing I like about this is having LeBron and Larry Bird here, it's interchangeable. I can easily start Larry Bird and be really good and have a great first unit. I can start LeBron, have a great first unit. So the thing about this was it's interchangeable. And if you want to put, and I have the right to go down the road and go back and say, nah, Larry Bird, I messed it up when I first did that here on the show. Power forward, this one was a little bit tricky, but I wanted to go a little bit more new age with this. Kevin Durant is my four man. How do you stop him? Like, forget the dimensions, height, weight, arm length, whatever, wingspan. How do you stop him? I don't know. I have no answer. I don't think you do either. How do you stop him? I have no idea. Kevin Durant is that guy. Center, Wilt Chamberlain. It was Shaq, little Bill Russell, Hakeem Olajuwon were all there. But, buddy, I got to go Wilt. You want a guy who led the league in scoring at center? Wilt Chamberlain. Rebounds? Wilt Chamberlain. Did an assist? Wilt Chamberlain. Like, he was as dominant for his era as Shaq was for his, but then only guy that could really guard him was Bill Russell. But I think Wilt Chamberlain was a better all-around player than Bill Russell was. Now, for my last two guys, I'm going to say one guy who's not going to be on the list is Bill Russell. I'm not all in on Bill Russell like a lot of other guys are. Take away the rings. I think we view him in a different way. Elite defender. Elite rebound. He was elite at that. But he will prop him up for them rings. I get it. Think about that. One, the league did not have that many teams back then. But then also, two, man, his team had Hall of Famers on it. Hall of Fame coach. Hall of Fame starting five. Well, let's keep it in context. He's a really good player. He's great. But, man, he's not on my 12-man roster right now. But final two guys on the list, Steph Curry and Shaq. I think Steph Curry, because Steph Curry is technically a shooting guard. I don't put him as a point guard. I believe there's a debate for that as well. But I have never seen a more dominant player in my lifetime than Shaquille O'Neal. There was no answer for him. Like, no answer for Michael Jordan either. But one man, put him in one position. Literally, you put him near the paint, near the block, left to right block, or even a little bit in the paint, you can't stop Shaq. You can't stop him at all. Like, I heard Richard Jefferson say it on J.J. Redick's podcast, and it's true. They changed the equipment because of Shaq. Because of how dominant he was. He was just breaking stuff. Shaquille O'Neal. Steph Curry. Final two guys on this list. Guys, I love being back here. I cannot wait for next month with it being Women in Sports Month here on the podcast. I'm going to try to get my friend Lexi on the show. It's Maddie Hudak back on here. They have to get Shannon McBride, big IndyCar racing fan as well. And they're trying to get some more people, two more women. There are 5 weeks in the month of May. Try to get them on the show to just really not just give them a platform, but kind of celebrate women and what women do in sports, because I am one that will not shy away from this thought. Women do not get appreciated in sports like they need to be. Let me up it a little bit. Women do not get appreciated in life in the ways they need to be. So why not open this up 5 weeks in this month, five women, allow them to come on the show, tell their story, discuss things a little bit, but also just show my appreciation, give them their flowers for what they are, what they do, and for just being women in sports. We're out of here on a Wednesday, episode 275. Cannot wait to keep going. Broadcasting month is going to be hot. Hot. Going to try to get a couple new voices here. Going to try to get back Ian Eagle and then my guy Greg Gregstraw from the ISC Sports Network, Colts Pulse Game Show, and a lot of other things that he does there. And try to get two more voices, big-time voices, to come here on the podcast to kind of be featured, share their story, and the things that they love about their job. If you have not yet subscribed to the Jay Stephens Podcast on the Apple Podcast app, the Spotify app, wherever you get your fine podcast, also leave a rate and review there. 5 stars, please. It helps the show grow. It's a free way to let more people know about the Jay Stephens Podcast. This has been episode 275 of the Jay Stephens Podcast. I will see you next time.